So the reason I'm my sermon title is The Nature of the Prophetic is because we had an elders meeting 2 weeks ago, something. And Kobus asked the question, how is your prophetic life looking before the Lord? And that question just stuck with me because when I hear the word prophecy or prophetic, you sort of get anxious in a sense, you know, you start to think it's a big word in a sense, it's like it carries a heavy weight. So when you hear the word prophetic, you sort of, you know, I think prophetic, you know, prophetic. But I think where we are as a church and where we're moving forward, I think the prophetic or the nature of the prophetic is going to be very important because it ties in with what Nas was saying. Like, we need to, Andre Kerr also said, we need to love the extended life. So we need to love from a place where we are intimate with God, and that intimacy flows out into our daily lives. And if you are sort of frustrated with your work, or I don't know, let's see, who's a bit like, I have to go to work, or I'm frustrated with my work. I'm at that place as well. But I thought in the week that if I actually, I know work is not always like the best circumstances, or you know, sometimes we feel like I'm not called for this, or I want to go to that, or I want to do something else. If you look at my CV, every 2 years or 3 years I switched like a complete career in a sense. So this is 3 years later and I'm like, maybe I must like do something else again. But that's because, like, you know, we sort of get to a place and then we want to switch again. But if we actually wake up every morning living from that intimacy, going to work and saying, okay, I'm going to make an effort to speak at least with one or two people about Jesus, my work will actually become so much easier, because I'm going to wake up and not think, I have to do this and I've got meetings. You'll actually wake up and saying, I'm actually waking up and I'm going to spread the gospel, and I'm doing it at my work. Obviously not neglecting your work, because also, that's also not what we want. But to really live from that place where we wake up and we know that there's a, wake up with the divine nature of God and saying, like, I'm going to win this day for the Lord. And the work becomes easier then. Actually, you'll actually be so much more focused doing your work, because you're there for a greater purpose. You serve a greater mission. And the word this morning, in a sense, is how do we live prophetically? How do my life, how do your life look prophetic? How can it look more prophetic? Because that is initially what God wants. And I want to go look at the word, and in Greek it says, if, I don't know if I'm saying it correct, any Greek people in the house? No one? Okay, so it's fine. I can go, boss. So it says prophetia in the Strong's Concordance, which basically means prophet, which is derived from pro, before, and I think it's phimi, make clear, said as a priority, properly, what is classified beforehand. I think someone mentioned that. Prophecy involves divinely empowered foretelling. I think Benny said that. Okay. Asserting the mind of God, or foretelling, predicting the future. Okay. And in just the Greek translation, it says the English word prophet is a compound Greek word from pro, in advance, and the verb phison, to tell. Not phison, like you, not you phison. It's the other phison, it's to tell. So it's someone who foretells future events and also conveys messages. And this is for me, this is what stood out for me, from the divine to humans. In a different interpretation, it means advocate or speaker. So we are actually all prophets of the Lord. Whether you like it or not, you are a speaker for God. You are God's advocate. You're actually representing God here on earth. You are mini Jesus walking around, actually what it is. So living a prophetic life is for all believers. Once you said yes to Jesus, you confessed with your mouth, you believed in your heart. The prophetic life is for all believers. Being prophetic is to recognize the voice of the Father and communicating His heart accurately. Accurately, that is basically what it means to be prophetic. In simple terms, it means to recognize the word of the Lord and communicating His heart. It sounds easy, does it? It's not that complicated, right? Anyone? No. The gift of prophecy, something we can all desire, is a spiritual gift whereby a person reveals God's words, will, and intentions to others. So to be able to prophesy actually means to you need to live so closely with the Lord that you hear His voice, you receive revelation from the Lord, you reflect His nature. You've got God's DNA, and DNA stands for the divine nature of Abba, in my opsomming, DNA. And the prophetic nature is not related to your personality, because some of us are like extroverts. I'm not extrovert at all. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are fun-loving. Some of us are caring. So it actually doesn't matter what type of personality we are. We all have the prophetic gifting of God. And the nature of this prophetic gifting is defined by the godly qualities that should exist as a permanent and essential attribute of every prophetic person. So it's basically, to be prophetic is who we are. It should be like second nature. You know, it should be like eating, because that's second nature for me. Like, I love eating. So to be prophetic is something that flows from that place of intimacy with the Lord, that place where we sit before God and we have that conversation with Him, we commute with Him, we hear what's on God's heart. Living from that place, the divine place, we go out and we communicate God's heart. Whatever we communicate, it's either from God's heart, from His Bible, what He says from us. So there's a place where we are in intimacy with God, and there's a place where it flows out. So I think either of us, we are always stuck by either or. Like, we're either stuck with receiving from God and we keep it for ourselves and we don't outflow, and we get frustrated with people, with the church, with our work, with a lot of things, because we are intimate with God, but there's no outflow. And when you're at that place, you don't later receive anymore, because you can't receive anymore. There needs to be an outflow. But then also on the other side, you are outflowing all the time, you're spreading the word, but you don't go back to intimacy. So if you're in this place, you sort of get tired sometimes, you get discouraged if you don't see people coming to the Lord, or you don't see any breakthrough. It gets difficult. You should actually be in between the two places all the time. So you receive and you give. You receive and you give. It's like ShopRite, Checkers, or Pep, or whatever. They get stock goes out. They get stock goes out. And you can ask whoever's what will happen if the stock only stays here, or if you wait for the stock to come, but the stock is not coming. And it's the same with the Lord. It's the same with the prophetic lifestyle. You receive and you give. And if there's something I want you to remember this morning, is to receive and to give. So whenever you drive past a warehouse and you see receive and give, then you will be reminded of our prophetic life before the Lord. And the book of James, sorry, something is in my throat. Okay, is it nice looking at me while I drink water? So the book of James, for me, sort of sums up. Some of the material actually is from a reading plan that myself and Andy did after we had the meeting. So I took some of the material from there, and did some research and put my own stuff in as well. So James 3 verse 17, if you have your Bibles here, we're actually going to camp in this verse here. This is going to be the foundation of the prophetic life and what I want us to get this morning. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Being prophetic means to be attentive to these characteristics and qualities in our lives and ministry. So James is saying that to be prophetic, we need wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Previous verses, he says, ask for wisdom. If you don't ask for for wisdom, you're not going to get the wisdom. So the prophetic wisdom that we need is listed in here. And it's interesting for me that it says, first of all, pure. It starts with being pure before the Lord. And the nature of the prophetic should be a permanent part of our lives. It's not something that comes up for a season and then it goes again. And then we go through this very prophetic hearing from the Lord, and then we go down again. So it needs to constantly be on this straight line where we receive from the Lord and where we give from the Lord. So I want to go through all of those eight characteristics that is listed in there. But before that, I want us to read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 13, that says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but which the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The first one is pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. So the first one is pure, and I want to go through all of them, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, it's pure. And in Matthew 5:8, it says, the pure in heart will see God. Like if there's no purity, we won't be able to see God. If there's no holiness, we won't be able to see God. So in order for us to desire the prophetic, we need to be pure. We need to be cleansed. And we need to express that purity before the Lord. And it's interesting for me that some of these characteristics are actually listed in Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes, the attitude of being. And he longs for an unblemished representation of his heart, which draws people back to himself. God is calling his people back to a place of holiness and righteousness. And I feel God is busy doing this in our church at the moment. When you look at people's lives and you see what God is doing in people, and just the hunger for the Lord, like the hunger in your lives is really, for me, this is like, when I see hunger in people, I'm like, man, God is busy doing something, and it gets me excited, and it gets other people excited. And I want to commend you guys for really, having a hunger for the Lord. It is really inspiring, and it shows that we are busy moving in the right direction. We are busy moving to the prophetic life. He's calling his people back to a starting place for the prophetic, the origin of God himself. So being prophetic starts with God. To be prophetic, it starts with being intimate with God, to be in that place of intimacy with the Lord. The second one is peace-loving. Doesn't make sense. You guys are very quiet. Okay. Second one is peace-loving. And in Matthew 5:7, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And peace is not just a feeling we experience on occasions when everything seems like perfect. Because it's easy to have peace when everything is in place, there's no stress, you know, finances are fine, things are going well. It's easier to sort of have that peace. But to have peace, like Nas testified this morning, to have peace when there's chaos That is actually where God, where we know like we've got a real intimacy with God, because when a lot of things are going out of place in you, after that place of going out of place in you, in that place of peace, we can actually live out the prophetic. And we sometimes, when things are tough, and we're not in that place of peace, it's so easy to lose track of where we are. What does God want us to do? Are we driving in the big lane, or do we need to drive in the narrow lane? And I find in my life, when I don't have peace, it's first of all difficult to hear God's voice. You get irritated very quickly, and it's so difficult to live in that intimacy when there's no peace, because the peace of God surpasses all understanding and knowledge. And to have that peace, we need to renew our minds daily, like it says in Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. In Romans 15 verse 13 it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And thirdly, we need to be considerate. James says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, and then considerate." Prophetic people need boldness to deliver prophetic revelation, but we also need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If we aren't considerate, we grieve the Holy Spirit with our words, with our actions, and our motivations. Being considerate means to keep in step with the intention of the Spirit and to ensure that our own opinions or interests don't corrupt the delivery of the prophetic or quench the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying we need to water down the gospel, and I say we need to be considerate, because God's word is truth. And sometimes God's word does cut us. Like when you spend time with the Lord, we sometimes just read the nice stuff, but we don't read the stuff that actually cuts us. But the word of God needs to cut us, because God has given us His Holy Spirit, and wherever the truth of God cuts us, the Holy Spirit comes and He fills up that gap. It's like a beautiful unity and a beautiful picture of God working in the Trinity to get us to that place where God wants us to be. The fourth one is to be submissive, which is not always the easiest one. Who finds it easy to submit? No one. To submit means to surrender or to yield, whether in our thoughts, whether in our behaviors, our relationships. Submission is purposeful. It's accepted the will of another. So it's basically saying, I'm going to submit under this church, so I'm going to submit under the leadership. I'm going to submit under where we are going. And submission is not always a popular topic. People don't always speak about submission. You know, it's something that I think to live a prophetic life is one of the most components. And that's why James says that the wisdom that comes from heaven is to be submissive. That's what we need to be. And we know the Lord's Prayer as well. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So submission is to basically put God's will above our desires. It's like Nas said, you know, life gets busy, but we need to put God's will above our desires. We need to sort of prioritize where is God going to, I almost want to say, where's our life going to fit in with our God life, if I can say it that way. And that could be anything in our lives, not just like the physical things, but just mental things as well, the way that we think, the way that we handle situations, the way that we handle conversations needs to be from that place of submission. And practically, submitting under God's will means to submit under His word and obeying His word. So there's a place of obeying God's word and living under His authority, but there's also a place where we need to live under human authority. I mean, if you are going to drive in the drive over red robots and stuff, there's a penalty for it. So there's a place in the prophetic life where we live under human authority. We live, I mean, you under authority with your boss. You need to, you owe him 8 to 5 every Monday to a Friday. So to live a prophetic life, we need to submit. And I believe if we want to grow prophetically, we need to get the submission right, and we need accountability. You can't live a prophetic life on your own, because we all have blind spots. We all need people to really look at our lives and say, I think there's something there that needs to be sorted out. And I want to encourage you this morning as well to, if you don't have anyone keeping you accountable, there's a lot of people, and it's as simple as asking someone, let's go for a coffee, and you ask them, I need accountability. You literally just have to say, I need accountability, and they will help you. But I want to read you something that David McCracken says, which is very profound when it comes to submitting and living under authority. He says, the authority you are under determines the authority you carry. The authority you are under determines the authority you carry. He describes this as the centurion principle in Luke 7, verse 1 to 10, where Jesus, you know, says he has never seen someone as faithful as this centurion, where Jesus tells him to go to your son, he'll be healed. Jesus grew in authority because he was under the authority of his Father, right? The centurion grew in his authority because he was under the authority of Caesar at the time. And it is a fundamental law in the prophetic life is to be submissive and to be under authority. Being submitted to the Father's authority as well as human authority will increase your authority in the prophetic. The number 5 is full of mercy. There's a lot of people here I know that has a lot of mercy, and they call it the mercy ministry, and which is beautiful for me. I just want to read James again to us. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace loving, considerate, submissive, and full of mercy. The nature of mercy is the Father's unmerited compassion and kindness. I mean, just take Jesus for an example. He had so much compassion, even though he was very like fervent, and he did rebuke a few people. But I mean, let's take the night on Jesus' arrest. I mean, they were brutally going after him. Peter cuts off someone's ear, and Jesus still has the mercy to, you know, I'll put it back on again. And I mean, if it was me in that sort of environment, the last thing I want to do is to actually put someone's ear on. I didn't even see the ear, because I would have been so afraid of the soldiers and people coming and trying to just, you know, get me. Being merciful is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others. The prophetic mandate is that our words would make people stronger and more resilient in their spirits. We are called to actually lift people up, not to push people down. There's a place where we really have to firmly speak to people when we do see stuff in their lives. But I mean, we are there to lift people up. That's what Jesus has done. Jesus always, in his ministry, you know, I mean, he healed sinners, he spent time with sinners, but Jesus always lifted people up, and he had so much compassion and mercy. And one thing that we need to do to live a prophetic life is we need to love people, despite their shortcomings, despite their failures. We need to love people, because you can have a lot of faith, you can have flowing the giftings, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. So love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible also says. So our words should inspire, motivate, uplift, and build others up. The prophetic gift should bring life and not death. Number 6 is the good fruit. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. We've done that. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit. Good fruit is a symbol used many times in Scripture to illustrate some sort of principle. If you look at Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, he speaks about fruit. In John 15, Jesus says that unless you are abiding in the vine, you won't bear much fruit. And I don't know if you know, I think maybe Hagen will know, but if you do a study of, let's say, an apple tree or whatever kind of tree that you are planting, you need to plant the apple tree by the other apple trees. I don't know if you've driven past Sirius and wine farms and just see there in the middle is a apple tree or a pear tree. Like, you know, I've never seen a tree in the middle of nowhere, just there. But the reason it is planted with other trees or the same tree is because they sort of pollinate with each other. You know, the bees and the birds, they carry the pollen from one tree to another. So this means if we want to live a prophetic life, we need to surround ourselves with people that will pollinate us, that will actually lift us up. Even though our giftings look the same, our prophetic hearing God's voice and communicating God's heart, that's where we need to live. And if you look around, yeah, I'm sure there's people that wants to live a prophetic life. Greater spiritual health and growth results when we are positioned near people who are different to us but carry the same prophetic DNA. We become spiritually sharpened through their wisdom, advice, guidance, and support. Scripture encourages us to walk with the wise and become wise. I'm not always that wise, so if you walk with me, there's some unwise stuff as well. But we can help each other. Fruit has seed and therefore can reproduce. God created us in His image, and God created His nature and character to be produced through us. So the wisdom that comes from heaven should result in seed growing. So if we are going to live a prophetic life, people around us should see our prophetic life, and they also want to live the prophetic life. I didn't want to initially speak about the prophetic life, because I feel sometimes when we want to go a certain direction, we, in order for change to happen, people need to see it in you. So in order for us to live a prophetic life, we need to live the life and not speak it too much as well. People need to see our lives, and they want to live a prophetic life. Even when we are at work, even if we, wherever we are, the way that we act, the way that we love our lives, like, people need to want what we have. I've been working with my boss for about 3 or 4 years. I think 3 years I've been at the company. And, like, I've always told God, I'm not going to bash Him with, like, Scripture. I'm not going to, in a sense, go out of my way to, like, communicate the gospel to Him. He knows my values. He knows I'm a believer. He knows I go to church. I'm involved in church. And further than that, I'm just sort of living my life and making sure that I live the principles and the characteristics of what a godly man looks like. And in this last couple of years, like, there was one instance where, without me speaking anything about the Lord, he just all of a sudden asked me, like, how do you view God? And we drove, I think, to Worcester, so it's about 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever, where we just, like, on the way there. So I knew there was going to be somewhere along the way that he's going to ask me something. And I told God, unless he asks me about the Lord, then I will speak about the Lord. But I've been praying for it as well. It doesn't happen like this always. Sometimes you have to go and say and speak to someone about the Lord. But in this case, I felt like I'm going to let him ask me, and then I'm going to answer it. And if I take it from that day, a year later, how he has grown so much, And whenever we speak now, it's like full on about the Lord. We should actually do a bit more work and not speak about the Lord. I mean, you'd call me to just tell me something 5 minutes, and then 40-50 minutes later, you know, like put my phone down. But the growth and like what makes me excited is he's starting to initiate things from his side as well. He wants to start a group with his father and his brothers, and he wants to add me on the groups. And I don't think he like spiritually knows exactly where I am. So I'm gonna ask him, can I lead the group one morning, and then we're gonna see what happens. But I'm really excited for the opportunities that God actually wants to give us. But we need to desire those opportunities. Number 7, it's to be impartial. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. And then it says impartial. So we all have preferences. We will prefer certain foods. Some of us on heavy food restrictions, or we can't eat this, or we can't eat that, or our styles and stuff are different, you know. I don't like to wear gymming pants, and you know, I don't like to dress like very neat, in a sense, if I can say it that way. So I like the easy stuff, but you know, some of us like other stuff. So we all have certain preferences, and that makes sense because we all are unique and we all are wonderfully made in the image of God. But in order for us to carry the nature of the prophetic, we must be impartial, or we mustn't be unbiased in the prophetic. Being impartial means that we shouldn't be without favoritism, treating everyone equally. Anyone that works in this church or that works in your workplace, we should treat them equally, not judge how they look or what they do. And what's interesting for me is, and I wrote the formula for how the wisdom which comes from heaven will be imparted. In the Bible, words of prophecy were delivered through men and women, through writing on the wall, through a burning bush, and even through a donkey. So we need to be ready to receive the word from heaven sometimes in weird ways. I mean, just think of a bush burning or a donkey speaking, you know. I mean, I think I'll go nuts when I hear a dog speaking to me and, you know, telling me what to do. I'll call a listener to do an assessment on me. God used whatever means he thought fit to speak to his people. And I think God still wants to do that today. God still wants to speak through the lion when you go to a zoo, but if you go to a lion park or whatever. And number 8, it says sincere. The wisdom that comes from heaven is sincere. And sincerity is a greatly appealing character quality. A person of sincere heart naturally attracts others to their straightforward and unaffected nature. A sincere and genuine person is motivated by their internal beliefs rather than external expectations. They are solid in their convictions, and a prophetic person has 3 convictions based firmly on the word of God. When others meet prophetic people who are sincere, sort of what you see is what you get, in a sense. That's the people I sometimes like as well. What you see is what you get. And they always seem to be a bit funny as well. In 2 Corinthians 1:12 it says, For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the word in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. So God has mysteries that he wants to reveal to us. Because he says in his words in Proverbs 3:32, it says, his private counsel is with the upright. So God's private counsel, the desires of God's heart, he shares with the upright. In other words, in other translations, he says, those with spiritual integrity and moral courage. So conversations with God needs to come from a place of intimacy and once we are in that place, we will always get God's attention, because He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And if we're in that place, we can receive the Father's blessing. Let's take an echo. Upcome. There's a reason to behold His glory and majesty and to experience the Holy Spirit revealing the mysteries of heaven. It is the season of expect spiritual wisdom and prophetic revelation in our ever-ceasing measure. So I always said that you can have as much of God as you want. So if you want to live a prophetic life, the prophetic life that God wants to give us and wants to reveal to us will come from a place of intimacy. But I'm at the place where you need to want it. It's not gonna like just come while you lay in bed and all of a sudden God's gonna say, Stephanie, you're gonna get the prophetic life. You're gonna live a prophetic life. But it's something that we need to desire. And I think the word prophetic has been lost, if I can say it that way. Because when we think of the word prophetic, we think it's not for us. We're not good enough. It's only for some people. But for us to live a prophetic life, we need to get to that place of intimacy and wanting to live it. So, can we stand?